Hello everybody, my Zone, and this is On's Gotta Talk for Wednesday, 10th of November, 2021. As I mentioned earlier, we're back, and we've got a lot of devices, and some interesting things to talk about, like Apple's CEO Tim Cook getting interested in crypto that we just found out on Tuesday. And we're going to talk about that later on. Samsung offering its own cleaning cloth, that's a shocker, and a new competitor, Tesla's semi truck, the Tesla Semi, which we all know of. So without blabbering on and on, let's get rolling, shall we? First, we know that it's that time of the year, lots of new phones, new devices, and much, much more. While we were off air, we got a new Surface Pro, Surface Laptop Studio, MacBook Pro, AirPods, and a new Google Pixel, the Google Pixel 6 and 6 Pro. Today we're talking about Xiaomi, specifically in Xiaomi's sub-brand Poco, and they have a brand new phone called the Poco M4 Pro 5G. That's strange, right? Poco and Pro. That's rhyming. The Poco M4 Pro 5G, a new affordable model from Poco. One thing we've got to mention here is that the M4 Pro 5G is the global variant of Redmi Note 11, which was launched in China recently, which is probably a logical choice given the specs we have over here. As for the hardware bits, it's a significant upgrade from the M3 Pro. To start, we have the MediaTek Dimensity 810 processor, which is a 6-nanometer chip with 5G support and an AnTuTu score of over 390,000. As for charging, the M4 Pro 5G has a 5,000 mAh battery. Pretty standard for a phone of its caliber, but pretty impressive given the processor we have here, and it'll be pretty efficient at least. With 33 watts of fast charge included, and you get a wall charger with the same capacity out of the box, in the box. Why did I say out of the box? It's gonna be included. That's how it's going. And like a certain food brand, the Poco M4 Pro 5G features a 6.6-inch LCD, not AMOLED LCD, FHD plus display with a 90Hz refresh rate, DCI-P3. Color gambit and a typical brightness of around 450 nits. When it comes to cameras, there's a 16 megapixel selfie camera, a 50 megapixel main shooter at the back, along with an 8 megapixel 119 degree field of view ultra wide angle shooter. It's a sensor after all. Looks may deceive you, and you will notice at the back of it may look like there's five circles, so there are four or five cameras, right? But there's only two sensors at the back, not four or five. At least Poco's being pretty honest with the camera setup, and they're not trying to tell people it's a multi-camera setup and there's five, six shooters, and you know, there's a lot going on here. You definitely have to check it out. Oh well. As for the other bits, the M4 Pro 5G has a headphone jack, SD card slot, NFC, dual speakers, and a side-mounted fingerprint sensor that also doubles as a power button. The M4 Pro 5G will be available from 11th of November, which is tomorrow technically. It will start from €230 for the base spec, 4GB of RAM, 64GB of storage, but the 128GB variant will set you back €250, which is pretty good value nonetheless. And for a limited time, and if you could find a discount, it would be great. For a limited time, you get a €30 discount on this phone. That is, you check AliExpress. See if the deal is available. Should be up, as I said, by the time you're probably listening to it, it'll probably be the next day. So it will be available on AliExpress for €30 off the regular price. So not sponsored, by the way, but if you're interested, do check AliExpress. The discount would probably be there for sure, early bird pricing. I do know for a fact that especially these kind of products, you can get the early bird pricing on AliExpress, so best to check over there if you can. Honestly, if you don't care about mobile gaming or crispy photos in that regard, the Poco M4 Pro 5G is a solid deal, like most of Poco's lineup, as it's the global variant of some, usually is the global variant of some Redmi models from China. One thing that's not much of a deal breaker, but something to note, is the front display is only Gorilla Glass 3. It uses Gorilla Glass 3, not Gorilla Glass 5 or Victus or any of that. So if that really is worrying you and really keeping you up at night, I'm sure it shouldn't, I'd recommend getting a tempered screen glass protector for this phone. That would probably help. But overall, a pretty good bargain for lots of smartphone users who just want to check social media or emails or WhatsApp, I guess. So, you know, that was the Poco M4 Pro right over there. Pretty good for those casual users. So that was one new phone that we have. And then another, and this is about to drop really soon, is OnePlus. OnePlus is well known for doing special editions of its phones. And it's and you'll probably most likely remember special editions of their flagship phones featuring Marvel, Star Wars, and even McLaren really on the back. I don't know the model version, but I do know that I think the OnePlus 5 and the 3 and the 8 had special editions featuring those elements. This week, though, OnePlus has announced that it's doing a special edition OnePlus Nord 2 featuring good old Pac-Man. I don't know if I can include the music behind the game. It's quite iconic. If you picture Pac-Man, you'll know what I'm talking about. Yes, I'm not making this up. That game, iconic game character, that iconic game character, the one that eats up monsters and there's like a weird noise. It'll have all the specs of a regular Nord 2 phone, but with a special colorway that, and I'm not making this up, that according to them, uses phosphorus, I don't know how I'll pronounce this, but here we go. Phosphorescent ink applied to its innermost phlegm. I butchered this up. And this is what they actually wrote in the announcement on their forum. Phosphorescent ink applied to its innermost phlegm. Okay, now I got it. Allowing it to basically glow in the dark. Yes, it's a thing. And if you don't understand that, basically there's like a adhesive phlegm that's added to your glass or plastic back on the phones. So essentially that gives it that gradient finish. And the gradient finish, essentially, they first print it out, and essentially shines and glows. And essentially, then they stick it on to. If you've ever seen J-Rig Everything's teardown videos, where he kind of rips open the glass back and sort of tears out the adhesive that's on it. Usually, it's a phlegm that has the color at the back, and it's glued in really heavily, nice and shut, so it's waterproof and all. That's how they do it, sort of. And it could be any color as a result, in that sense. So, it's pretty interesting. You'll be getting a customized skin of Oxygen OS, so that'll be interesting to see. Little bits and bobs, you know, to celebrate Pac-Man, obviously the character. Now, in terms of price, it'll cost around 530 euros, 500 quid, or about 30,000 Indian rupees. That would technically be about 87,500 Pakistani rupees, which is interesting. Obviously, one thing we gotta note is the actual prices of the Nord 2 is obviously much lower than this. This phone is a limited release, so hence the prices we have here, so keep that in mind. We don't know how it looks, or what else is in this drop, as the cool kids would say, but we should know more in the next week or two. But aside from that, really, it's a pretty cool collaboration from Bandai Namco and OnePlus, so that's interesting to see nonetheless. And speaking of OnePlus, while we're already talking about them, let's bring up the next flagship phone, or rather a leak that's circulating on the socials, that is. So Steve from EV Leaks shared on Twitter what a render of what could be the OnePlus 10 Pro, the phone itself, which is kind of interesting. So this is like on the back of the phone. It has three cameras in this kind of island bump or hump, as I've written in the script, but bump sort of, and then the glass is sort of someone's cutting into the frame kind of. Just imagine the Galaxy S21's design, whereas it was like at an angle, whereas this render here, what we're showing, it kind of cuts through. It's like this, it's like a eye sort of, it's like a robotic eye that cuts straight also to someone's to the left of the frame. Again, it's quite hard to describe in audio, the power of audio, but yeah, it's quite similar to the S21 series or the S21 Ultra in that regard. I don't know what to say really, but this looks interesting. Definitely, we really don't know how much. The phone will cost. It'll be expensive, obviously, that's for sure. But we don't know much about the OnePlus 10 series or the 10 Pro in general. So we're many months away from this regard. So this is gonna be. But then again, it's pretty fascinating to see a render and how it kind of looks like, but one thing for sure, it's not going to be cheap, if you know what I'm talking about. But anyways, it's kind of, again, EB Leaks sort of dropped an interesting article behind the render. I'll link that in the show notes, so you can do check it out. It's pretty interesting and it's pretty cool render, nonetheless, in that regard. So this is an interesting time of the year, lots of new devices. This next one is going to be interesting for students and for schools generally. And Microsoft announced it mainly for the schools and high schools out there. You know, the pandemic has really exposed something, and that is, you know, technology, computers generally, and classrooms have kind of been hard to mash. You know, it's been hard to sort of, it's been a hardship. I mean, it's, online learning has been a real pain in the bums, if you know what I'm talking about in that sense. If you're an IT administrator, if you're a teacher generally, or even just running a school, it's private or public, it's been very difficult. In that sense of being able to go out and sort of, you know, being able to sort of deploy something that blends technology and learning. It's so difficult, you know. So Microsoft did an event today kind of focusing and talking about things they're offering for the education sector. And firstly, they showed off a new version of Windows 11, a specific version of Windows 11 called Windows 11 SE, and it's called SE. The SE does not mean anything like studying edition or special edition or anything. It's just called SE, and basically, it's this is falling off. Okay, so Windows 11 SE is Windows 11, but it's more optimized for online learning for students generally. And for high schools who deploy laptops to students and they can't control the programs on them and essentially and sort of push in updates and programs and all that kind of stuff to students, and they get a school sanctioned laptop, and essentially that's what the IT admins can control. So it's pretty interesting. It's basically Windows 11, but they've added some unique touches. For one context, looking at the fact that there's a big chunk of American high school kids that don't have constant access to the internet, and once they get back home, no Wi-Fi, you know how it goes. It's real hardship. Even in a place like the United States, there are lots of homes and a lot of people who don't have broadband access. So keeping that in mind, in Windows 11 SE, one drive stores files locally on each device, and this is their press release that they've mentioned here, and also Microsoft Office apps could run on these devices offline without any internet connection needed. Given asterisk if you have Microsoft 365 on enabled on that account, so that would not be a problem straight away. But if you have internet access, then you can also, as I said, utilize OneDrive to run Office, which is, you can do it for free. That's the thing. Nonetheless, and also they offer tools for admins who are managing and deploying devices to sort of control, student laptops that are usually assigned to students, and they would start hacking it and putting random apps and stuff on it. So that's interesting, nonetheless. But more than that, Windows 11 SE is going to be this thing that Microsoft is going to offer for generally for an education only variant of Windows 11. Their claim is that it'll be essentially be more cloud optimized, basically be more stripped. It looks like it's a bit more stripped down from, say, regular Windows 11 Pro. There's some features that will probably not be needed for students in that sense. But more interesting than that is that Microsoft showed off a new laptop, a new Surface. This is a Surface Laptop SE. It is this. It looks a little bit like a Chromebook if Microsoft made a very nice looking Chromebook, but it looks pretty solid, all in one piece. Now it features a Celeron processor, a pretty basic Intel processor out of the gate. You've got lots of features generally, but basically the point of the laptop, Surface Laptop SE, is that essentially it's supposed to be a bit of a stripped down Surface, mainly for online learning and for education, and it's mainly for that. So yeah, you have a Celeron processor, 16 hours of battery life, an 11.6 inch display. That's pretty impressive. You got a USB-C and USB-A port and headphone jack. You at least have a microphone and speakers. That's important. Zoom classes, you need a microphone. You got to put out your own ear. You use your own earbuds for it. I mean, fortunately, this has built-in mics, so that's pretty awesome. You have 4 gigabytes of regular RAM, not DDR5. DDR5 is just about coming now. It's roughly 11.1 inches overall. So that's something to look at. You have a Hall effect sensor, so I think this is the proximity one. So it sort of shut the laptop down if the laptop's been folded down, so it would be that. You get 64 120 gigabytes of flash storage. Literally, it says eMMC, so that's flash storage probably. A 720p HD camera, AC Wi-Fi, Bluetooth 5.0. and 135 degree open angle hinge. This is a Surface, so it's built to do that. That's pretty cool. But basically, it's got everything that you would need for kids to do learning on a computer generally. You know, take computer and IT classes, do online learning, virtual learning stuff, create spreadsheets, documents, presentations, assignments, chat with other students if they can, and take on and do Zoom classes without a problem. And here's the best part: this laptop generally starts at $249. So it is one of the cheapest Surface laptops that you can get out there from Microsoft. It was interesting. So it's about $250. Obviously, they'll probably first sell it through the education sales department. So $250 is not a bad price. So if you do the math right there. Yeah, I'm sure they're looking at a bigger market, like high school students who probably in their thousands who are probably going to be deployed a laptop like this. And so it would be well in a school's budget. If you're a private school, you'd probably give your kids MacBooks, give your students MacBook Pros. Just saying. I mean, or a good Chromebook if you can afford it. But yeah, this is interesting. Also, I've seen this in the video. They designed the laptop such that it's very easy to repair for the admins in the high schools. It's pretty cool. So things like the display, the battery, the keyboard, and the motherboard can be changed and can be repaired right then and there. And there's, I think, Phillips head screws at the bottom. So you can literally bust open the laptop and change out components, which I think is really nice of Microsoft. They really are, they've at least thought of high school IT admins in mind in that regard. Obviously, there's nothing impressive about the Surface Laptop SE. It's great for students, which is the target market. You got to give them a laptop that is good for online learning to study overwhelmingly, and for a little bit of fun, watching videos and opening someone else's Discord and seeing what Dream uploaded on YouTube. Your little fun time, But one thing we could say is this is Redmond's answer to the Google Chromebook and Apple iPad, because those other devices have been very, very popular in high schools all over America, and obviously surely in other parts of the world where people are running out and buying laptops for study learning. But the best part is that even if the Surface Laptop SE does not reach markets outside the United States, in the rest of the world, at least, Microsoft is planning to release laptops with Windows 11 SE from brands like Asus and Dell, which I think is awesome. I think if those other third-party OEMs probably have a broader reach than Microsoft sales-wise in other parts of the world, so this operating system could reach more students, I'd say, than Google's Chrome OS or iPad OS. But iPad probably does reach a lot of people. So again, Microsoft has a lot of competition, and they're entering a pretty aggressive market for cloud-driven online learning and education-based needs. So that's interesting move from Microsoft. And they're probably, again, and they've said that they've made this cloud-focused. So Microsoft Azure, Teams, Microsoft 365 is part of the picture here. And so I'm sure the $250 is not really the actual revenue generator. It's really the cloud services. Once the students or the schools buy all these hardware, or even hardware or laptops with Windows 11 SE, they'll then go on to get Microsoft's cloud services. So there's a real lock-in, and I think that's why they decided to launch such a product. There's a bigger incentive here. There's a bigger opportunity to take on the education market, because it really has blown open. The whole online learning space has been blown open because of the pandemic. And it's interesting, you know, like, things we didn't think about 2 years ago, things that were hard 2 years ago, are being ironed out constantly. I think we're all learning from this whole online learning experiment, which is, I think, is interesting. And obviously, if you're a high school student or probably a university student, you probably have gotten smart with studying over Zoom. And maybe it's probably changed your value of learning, but then again, it's really changed things. So I think it's a new direction for Microsoft nonetheless. Looking to new horizons in that sense. Apple CEO Tim Cook did a kind of an interview with the famous journalist and columnist Andrew Ross Sorkin, who obviously writes New York Times' Deal Book column, I believe. For the Deal Book Summit, I actually did register for the event. But I missed a lot of sessions because the timing was such that in the US it was in the morning already. It was a morning event, but here in Pakistan it had probably been late evening, so probably missed on some sessions. I did catch it. It's a pretty good conference, and they have a lot of they had a lot of famous personalities. Adam Newman was there speaking at the event, and Adam Newman kind of shared the fact that he had a lot of lessons and regrets from his time running WeWork, and I find that story unique. And then obviously folks like Pfizer CEO and the U.S. Secretary of State, the current one, and then Meghan Markle, quite starking personalities, talked to Andrew Ross Sorkin. And I mean, he kind of questioned them a whole bunch of things and what they wanted, again, part of, you know, changing world sort of. So Tim Cook was part of that lineup on the first day of the Deal Book Summit, as it was called. So, and it was all virtual, so it was pretty cool. I actually watched the whole interview. Andrew sort of talked to Apple CEO and kind of asked Tim Cook on a whole bunch of things, everything from AR to the App Store to privacy to security, why sideloading is not possible on iPhones. And Tim Cook did answer him back in that if one wanted to sideload applications to their phone, they could get an Android phone. That choice is there from the carrier store. And that's a good logic, because if you're in the US, if you go to an AT&T or T-Mobile store, you can pick up a Samsung, you can pick up a Google phone that has sideloading available, you can flick a switch and you can sideload apps. On iPhone, you can't do that. That's not possible. That's a big no. If you know I remember there might be a GIF that I remember ages ago, or a GIF, big no. But yeah, so Tim Cook sort of shut down Sorkin and kind of explained that, you know, iPhones mainly are for privacy and security, and that point was about that, and also about the fact that the App Store sort of is the only place to get apps and stuff. That was one point of discussion, but another one was when Sorkin asked Tim Cook about cryptocurrencies, and Tim Cook had this to say, and I'll quote him here. To quote Tim Cook, "It's something we're looking at. It's not something that we have immediate plans to do. I would characterize it as there are things that I would not do, like our cash balance. I would not go and invest that in crypto, not because I would not invest my own money in crypto, but because I don't think people buy Apple stock to get exposure to crypto. So if they want to do that, they can, you know, invest directly in crypto through other means. And so I would not do that. I'm not planning to in the immediate future to take crypto for our products as a means of tender, but there are other things that we are definitely looking at." Now, this is his statement. Now, he didn't really say Apple's going to get into crypto in the future, or Apple Pay will accept cryptocurrencies or cards with cryptocurrencies being processed sort of to actual cash. But Tim Cook does know that cryptos are a thing. He did invest a bit of it, and he made a point that essentially it's quite reasonable to own it as part of a diversified portfolio, which is not surprising, because A lot more of Wall Street is getting to crypto. There are entire banks that are putting their money into Bitcoin and Bitcoin futures and options. And while I would not advise anyone, and I'm not qualified enough to give you investment advice in that regard, but I certainly would not recommend Bitcoin. But then it's interesting to hear from Tim Cook that he kind of knows that crypto is a thing and has invested a little bit in seeing how it all works. And it's definitely something that could happen in the future. Now, his point was interesting about not buying crypto, company-wise in its balance sheet, sort of. He made an interesting point about how he's not going to buy crypto so that people buy Apple stock thinking they get exposure to crypto, quite like the Tesla stock. I do know Tesla, they bought a lot of Bitcoin, and so people had realized that Tesla has exposure to crypto. If we buy into Tesla stock, we also buy into their Bitcoin reserves, so more money. So that was interesting. It seems like he kind of knows how this whole game goes. Like some companies that actually buy cryptocurrency. Those companies that buy cryptocurrency are kind of doing it as a kind of investment for their balance sheets. And obviously, companies do tend to sort of spin their money around to kind of make it grow and to return and to generate a return on invest generate revenue returns for investors. So that was interesting. He kind of didn't confirm that they were going to get into the game of crypto, but it'll be interesting to see Apple be in the crypto space. They could be influential, like other things, like they've been with the iPhone and the iPod. So that'll be interesting. But it was quite a fascinating insight from Tim Cook. And that was a good interview. I tell you that's for sure. In Germany. If you live in Germany, this offer is finished, basically, but Samsung did this kind of promotional offer, a bit of a jab at Apple. If you also would remember this, because it's been reported heavily, Apple sells a cleaning cloth, a microfiber cleaning cloth for their devices for $20, or 25 euros primarily. And so Samsung did a bit of a small offer that they did for 1,000 users. So if you're one of the 1,000 people who bought it, cool. They're offering a 20 by 20 centimeter cleaning cloth for Samsung Galaxy phone owners if you're 18 and above in Germany. You literally click a button, you sign up, they'll send it to your door for free. And for the first 1,000 people only. Probably the offer is now gone because a lot of people have taken on the offer. That was funny. Samsung's taking a jab at Apple, which is pretty crazy. Pretty silly of Samsung. I'm sure that they'd probably happily charge a lot of money for a cleaning cloth and say, oh, it keeps your devices clean and free from coronavirus. So, it's quite silly, and I'm sure they're playing silly with Apple, that's for sure. I mean, I have nothing much to say other than this was very funny move of them. They're probably trolling Apple nonetheless. So I mentioned earlier that there's a new competitor to Tesla Semi. Everyone knows what that is. That's Tesla's electric semi truck that they're planning to launch. And I'm sure there are a bajillion companies out there trying to make the next big electric semi truck that will literally electrify and sort of make freight shipping, or essentially freight transportation, essentially trucking, green and environmentally friendly. And Geely, one of China's biggest car manufacturers, has gotten into act. Its heavy-duty division, it's Horizon, but you take Hor and put it Far, so Farizon Auto. So again, it's a mishmash of Far at Horizon, and you mix it together. That's how I'd pronounce it. That would be like Farizon Auto. They have this unique electric semi-truck that they've launched, apparently. And And apparently it will be the first electric semi-truck to be available from their company. And, they've been spending several years developing this concept or this vehicle that will actually be a thing down the road in 2024. So yes, this semi-truck will be released in 2024 to fleet operators and commercial vehicle drivers so they can get this semi and basically go trucking and basically be environmentally friendly and reduce carbon dioxide emissions. One thing for sure is that in COP26 there was a commitment signed by car makers and countries alike that by 2040 they'll ban sales of combustion engine vehicles, which is a pretty big sign, but I kind of feel that it'll be this commitment will be fulfilled in record time. Like, give it 10 or 20 years, it'll be figured out. Right now it feels difficult because we're far from mass penetration, so that's for sure. But this is a concept, it's called the home truck, so it's a mix, so they've blended the word home and truck, so a home truck or home truck. So you literally can go trucking, and it's from the designs and the renders, it looks absolutely nice. So it's got a unique homey feel. That's what they're going for with the semi-truck, is that truck drivers, especially those who drive massive trucks, A to B, long distances, even fixed routes, go on very long journeys, interstate highways, and they spend very long amounts of time on the road. And so they designed this semi-truck to be sort of a home away from home. So the cockpit area includes a bathroom with a shower and toilet section, a single bed, a refrigerator, a tea maker, a kitchen, and a small washing machine. Cool. And you have an AI system that runs with 360-degree cameras to sort of keep the operator in check, sort of keep him aware that there's things, obstacles ahead or anything like that. That's pretty cool. This electric truck, I mean, okay, this is this thing could actually be released one day, the home truck. We have a concept here, sort of the renders. So it has LiDAR, millimeter wave radar, and ultrasonic radar sensors. That'll be standard out of the gate, along with 5G and vehicle to grid V2X communication functionalities. You get over-the-air updates, like actual electric cars that exist. Level 4 autonomous driving functionality for trucking, so you can literally keep the car at its fixed route distance and kind of keep it in the same lane without any issue. And the driver will be there and will recognize it. And if there's something, if it has to change lanes, then you can sort of jig open the autonomous driving and switch over. And apparently, the architecture for this truck is such that it can utilize different powertrains. So it could be purely electric with battery swapping, which is doable with Chinese EVs. There are Chinese EVs that come with battery swapping functionality, like the NIO and the XPeng cars. This is probably doable given it's Geely, so pretty reputable brand. It can also be available, you can get this truck also potentially with a methanol hybrid engine and a range extender functionality. So an actual electric car, but also has a range extender attached, so it can go even further than just a whole bunch of batteries in its connected to its goods. What is interesting, so it's quite a fascinating product. They showed off the concept of what it could be. The plan is that they'll release this commercially by 2024. They plan to sell it all over the world, potentially, including the home market of China and in the rest of the world, including North America and Europe, which is interesting. It may awfully look like a Nikola, but I have a gut feeling this is possible more compared to the Nikolas, where this one is purely electric, so this makes sense. It could happen. That's how it is. But I mean, there probably are a lot of people who would probably be interested in this electric semi-truck in that sense. So that's cool. And then on the flip side, Rivian, which is a famous electric car company that makes the iconic R1T and R1S vehicles, the pickup truck and SUV, electric, all electric, that we have, is going public on a Nasdaq. It went public today, with the ticker symbol RIVN. It did the IPO, and not a SPAC offering, an IPO of 153 million shares at $78 a share. Currently, as of recording this podcast, it's going, as the market has closed, it traded at about $100. So they've raised a lot more money than usual, probably. So that's pretty cool. So if they are selling 153 million shares on the public market, then if they're raising that kind of amount, so they probably raised like, let's just see. So if they plan to raise about 153 million shares, and then obviously it goes for $100, which is what it went today, they would have raised about $15.3 billion in the IPO, which is impressive. So it's a pretty big payday for RJ Scringe, who started this company over a decade ago when Tesla was starting out with the Model S. Pretty impressive. I mean, unlike other EV startups that have rushed to the public markets to raise a lot of money to scale production, to create models to then sell and make more money, Rivian has ready production models, ready vehicles that you're able to buy very soon, that you can go out and buy, and they'll be out on the roads very soon. And they did a public review and they did a media testing event and all. So they're ready with these cars, and they've been making lots of them. Obviously, there's been the chip shortages, but they have ready stocks ready to be gone, go out to those who have spent a lot of money or have reserved for these cars. So pretty impressive. After Tesla, there's Rivian, and also they have quite promising models. They made a van for Amazon, and Amazon's the investor in Rivian. They own about 22% of the company. That's impressive in that regard. And now they've went public, so they're now worth $77 billion. So it'll essentially make it the eighth most valuable car maker in the world overall. Worth more than Ford, which invested in Rivian early on when they started to get a lot of hype and their cars were almost starting to reach production quality that was ready for prime time. That's impressive. Pretty impressive. And I do know that Rivian has already shipped out the Amazon delivery vans. And they said that from next year they'll start selling that to... they're going to start selling that to non-Amazon customers next year for business customers. I think that's awesome. Unlike other EV startups, as I mentioned before, that went public, this one makes sense. It's plausible. This one, they have something compared to Nikola. They have cars that essentially will be selling like hotcakes. And most of America would love to get a pickup truck or SUV that's literally all electric. Have you seen the demand for F-150 Lightning? It's impressive. I think it was 100,000 reservations for that Ford pickup truck. So most of America loves to have electric cars, but something that is quite distinctly American, you know, because they say when in America you go big. You don't get dinky city cars or tech-driven cars. You get something big and has a big battery and lasts a very long time and all that kind of stuff. So that's pretty awesome to see that Rivian's gone public. Ironically, at the same time when Tesla's price has been dropping because Elon Musk said he's going to sell a whole bunch of Tesla shares. That's strange. Now you have somewhere to go to, right? If you sold your Tesla stock for a lot of money, you can go into Rivian because it's worth even more. It's going to go up from here. I have a feeling that I'm no stock analyst. I'm no expert. But expect the Rivian stock price. If they start to sell their cars regularly, there's no interruptions, their stock price could hit $200 easily. This could double. I'm no expert, but I have a feeling this could happen. Then again, this is just my opinion. This is not advice. If you are going to buy stocks, do your own proper research. This is just a this is just an opinion of mine. This is my own opinion. And you may lose your money if you buy stocks, okay? That's something to keep in mind. Stocks are great, but you may lose your money. So that's something to keep in mind as a disclaimer. So do keep that in mind. Good for them. Good for Rivian. Pretty happy for them. It's paid off big time. So what do you think of everything you heard today in this episode? Let me know. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Sayed_Moan99. Follow me there if you can. I got nothing else really. Subscribe to the show wherever you're listening right now so you don't miss another episode, literally. We're getting back into the grind. Obviously, now you may notice I'm a bit cranky, like a broken tape. But yeah, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts if you can. Share this to your friends and family. If you have a family WhatsApp group, share this show. Hopefully someone somewhere will listen to it. But yeah, till next Monday. This is your boy Mom signing out. Have a wonderful day. Have a great weekend. And yeah, till Monday. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Ciao.